absolutely amazing. Matthew chapter 26, verse number 31. Says, then saith Jesus unto them, all you shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. And because he said it, all the other disciples said it too. Sounds like my home. One wants a juice box. Everybody wants a juice box. I wish I had a parent in here that knew what I was talking about. Likewise, also said all the disciples. I want to preach for a few moments on a very simple subject. I'm not trying to wow you today with great wisdom. That subject is go get Simon. Go get Simon. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the sweet spirit that we feel in this house. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, because this is your church. These are your people. We are your sheep, and I am your vessel. So help me, Lord, to speak every word that is intended. I pray that my flesh would not get in the way. We're going to leave here better, stronger, wiser than what we walked in here. And we believe it now. In Jesus' name we pray. You ready to receive the word? Clap your hands unto the Lord one more time. You may be seated. Well, speaking of the summer revival out at Columbia Park, we had a few games that were played, and one of them, our dear sister Martia King, just attempted her best to play Simon Says. Does anybody remember that? Yeah, it just didn't work out too well, praise God. We love you, sister, but it didn't work out too well. She was doing her best to try to get those kids to stumble, and they just would not stumble. And she was running out of what Simon Says to do. She was trying to think on the fly, and it just was not working out. I said, Lord, help her. Hopefully they come up with something. And I think paper, rock, scissors, and it's just everything. And finally, I don't know if we just start giving stuff away or we finally came up with a winner. We didn't really know what to do. She was searching for help, but nobody was there to help my dear sister. Simon Says is a great game. It's fun. It's interesting. You have to pay attention. You have to really take heed and listen to what is being said. And so was Simon on that day. The Lord was trying to talk to him and tell him what was going to take place, but Simon was not agreeing with what his Lord was saying. Often we ask the question, why am I still struggling with this? The thought of living fault-free for the rest of our lives may be overwhelming and even impossible. The good news is that we just need to focus on today. And Jesus will be present to give us sufficient grace to walk in step with him. Some of the transformation God does in our lives happens instantly. Other changes, however, take place over time. The Spirit enters in a moment, but its fruit must be developed over a lifetime. Discipleship does not happen once and for all at an altar, but discipleship happens every moment of every day. And some days we do well and we find ourselves living right next door to Jesus. Other days we do not do so well and find ourselves continents away from him. It is not as important how close we are to God as it is which direction we are headed in. It is important to understand, my friend, that do not get frustrated that you still get frustrated. Some ought to say amen to that. Discipleship is not a one-time event, but it's a daily process. Romans 8 tells us, and we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. It is a certainty that God works all things together for good. And yes, some trials may cause us to question whether anything good can come from them. There may be times when all we can do is ask God for strength to endure another day. The natural eye sees what we are going through and asks, why does this have to happen to me? The spiritual eye sees what we are going through and affirms because we know God is faithful to his word. We can trust him to bring us through the storm. I want to encourage and remind someone that God is just not the God of the storm, but he is the God in your storm. It was Peter who had boldly declared Jesus' true identity when he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And now this same Peter sat by a fire in the courtyard trying to get comfortable and wondering what to do as he watches his master, his rabbi, get carried away to be crucified. A young woman interrupted, you also were with Jesus of Nazareth. You're one of them. Peter adamantly denies such a significant association and changed his venue to the outer porch. A second encounter with a female servant who recognized him produced the same accusation. This fellow, he was with Jesus. Peter refuted the charge with a stronger second denial. I do not know this man. Hours earlier, Peter had been so passionate and loyal. But in these moments, he fell prey to the prophecy of the one who knew him the best. A third person noticed his accent and declared him to know Jesus. The scripture puts it this way in Matthew 26, but your speech betrays you. And one last time, instead of standing by his vow of loyalty to Jesus, he became angry and began to curse. The scripture here validates that children of God should not have foul mouths and should not be cursing. The scripture validates that people that try to say it's okay to curse every once in a while, no, that does not bring you closer to Jesus. That separates you from him. Peter did not curse to draw himself to Jesus. He cursed to distance himself from Jesus. So if we have anyone here that still has a foul mouth, you need to ask the Lord to clean it up, and he will take every foul mouth from your vocabulary. He began to curse, and immediately the cock crowed, and Peter quickly fled the scene, finding a place of solitude where he wept bitterly. Imagine Peter's shame at denying Jesus. Peter had professed commitment to death. Yet in the moment of trial, he buckled. His shame was instantaneous. His inclination was to withdraw. He could have blamed it on his circumstances. He could have blamed it on his doubts. He even could have blamed it on his fears. You have to excuse me today as I'm preaching this sermon before you and in your ears this evening, but I can't help but to think about the Simon Peters in our families. I can't help but to think about the Simon Peters in our city. I can't help but to think about the Simon Peters from this church. Are in our very homes right now. These are they that are living in guilt from years past. These are they that are living in doubts and in fears. They hear all day long is that your family, my family, doesn't care about me. That church doesn't care about me. And Jesus has never remembered me, and he will never forgive me. Do we have Simon Peters in our life? Do we have Simon Peters in this church? Do we have Simon Peters in our families? Do we have Simon Peters in this city? There may be someone here today, there may be someone online watching that feels this way, that you are forgotten and that Jesus just doesn't know and understand, and people just don't understand and know your circumstance, and it seems like you're on an island by yourself. This preacher has come with a very loud voice and with compassion to let you know that you are not forgotten. And that you are still loved, and that you still have a purpose. It was Mary and Mary Magdalene that went to the tomb with spices for the body of Jesus after the Sabbath was over. It is when the angel of the Lord showed up unto them and said, "Be not affrighted, you seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. The Bible says he is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him." He says, "But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter." He said, "Tell his disciples and Peter." He puts emphasis on mentioning the Peter. Why? Because he wants everyone, especially his disciples, to know, "I haven't forgot about Peter." You may have forgotten about him. Many may have forgotten about him. The thing that frustrates me about this story, and I have found myself to repent unto the Lord, is why his disciples didn't go looking for Peter. When Peter was missing, when Peter wasn't at the table with the rest of them, when Peter was not in the home with the rest of them, why did they not go knocking on Peter's door saying, "Hey, Peter, we haven't forgotten about you. I know you've been denying him. I know you've been running, but we haven't forgotten about you." But even though his disciples didn't go looking for him, Jesus still knew where Peter was. And the angel of the Lord said, "Go tell his disciples, and oh, I need you to go find Peter too, that I'm not dead, but I'm back. And I still got a purpose for Peter." I've come to preach to somebody here today. God has not forgotten about you. God knows exactly where you are. And my friend, today, you still have purpose. Hallelujah. But my cry today is maybe not for you that are sitting here in the sanctuary. My cry today is for those that are not sitting in the sanctuary. Because I guarantee you, we have people in our families. We have people that have sat here right next to you in this church. And where's Peter? Where's Simon at? We need to go get Simon. Somebody has to have a heart's desire to say, "I've got an empty seat next to me, and my sister needs to be here. My brother needs to be here. My loved one needs to be here. Go get Simon." You're going to have to excuse me, but I've got something in my heart that's hurting for every backslider, that's hurting for every individual that feels like they're lost, that feels like there's no hope. The devil is a liar. I'm telling you, God still knows your name. Well, maybe I need to come down your row. Don't you remember where you used to be? Don't you remember how you used to think? But God didn't forget about you. He didn't throw in a towel on you. But God made a way for you to come back. Somebody clap your hands unto the Lord. Give God some great praise. So, go get Simon. The angel of the Lord shows up and says, "Hey, Jesus is back. He's risen, just like he said he was going to be. But I need you to go tell the disciples that he's back. I know they're in disarray. I know they're chaotic. I know they're weeping. I know they're crying. I know they don't know what to do. Even though I just told them that I will see them again in Galilee." He just told him that he was going to see him again. I just told him, but still in the moment of distress, isn't it amazing how we can just lose our mind for a moment? Isn't it amazing how in a moment of distress and hurt and anger and fear, it's like we just forgot everything that Jesus has told us down through the years? Isn't it amazing how we can receive a report and we forget that God is our comfort, that he's our healer? Isn't it amazing how we can receive bad news from a doctor, some bad news in our family, and all of a sudden we just forget that, wait a minute, God is on my side. I said, God is on my side. Wait a minute. That means I'm on the winning side. That means if God be for me. It's amazing how his disciples were just in disarray. And now the angel of the Lord has to come and comfort them and say, hey, he's back. Look, you can go check it out. Go look. He's not laying there anymore. He told you that he was coming back. I need you to go tell his disciples I'm back. But oh, by the way, I need you to go find the one that y'all forgot about. I need you to go find the one that's not with you right now. I need you to go get the one. Notice that he said, you go tell Peter. I'm trying to tell someone in this church that each and every last one of us can think of a Simon that's in our families. You can think of a Simon that's in your life. You can think of a Simon that belongs to this church. Somebody that you know that used to be here. Somebody that you know that used to be in a youth group. Somebody that you know that used to be a part of the children's ministry. Somebody that you know that used to help out around the church. And now you don't see them here anymore. Well, why is that? I'm sure there's a lot of reasons and excuses and things that the enemy has put in their mind, but they need to know that God still loves them, and they need to know that there's a church that still cares about them, because I can only hope that if me or one of my family members was a step away from the Lord, you just wouldn't say, man, what happened to Pastor Robinson? But somebody would come knocking on my door. Somebody would give me a call and say, hey, come on back, Brother Robinson. We still love you. We still care about you. You can still make it. You don't have to be lost. I wonder, do I have a church that will go get Simon? So let's just bring this down to elementary level. Let's make this real fundamental. Who is the Simon in your life right now? Is there one person that comes to your mind that you know that should be here but is not here? I'm telling you, think of that person right now. Who in your family? Who in this city? Who is that individual? Because I'm telling you, the voice of the Lord is trying to get someone's attention. Go get them. Go call them. Go send them a message. Go do something to let them know that there is a people that still cares. There's a people that still loves. Because I would hate to be the one where something takes place. Lo and behold, if the rapture took place and then they did not have an opportunity, just one more chance for one more person just to make one phone call. I'm telling you, it's amazing what one phone call can do, what one text message can do. One email. Oh, I wish I was preaching to somebody in here. Have you just received one message? Just one meeting changed the total trajectory of your life. I'm telling you, there's some Simons out there that need some help, and they need to know that there is a God that cares, there's a church that loves, and there's a people here that's ready to receive them back. There may be somebody here under the sound of my voice that does not know that you are loved by Jesus, that does not know you have purpose in the kingdom of God. The devil is a liar, because Peter denied him once. He denied him twice. He denied him three times. But the Lord said, go get Peter. I know he denied me, but I still got a plan for him. I know he denied me, but I still got a purpose for him. I'm here to tell somebody, you still have purpose in the kingdom of God. He's not done with you. People can be done with you. They can throw you off, but God wants to pull you in. Somebody clap your hands. One more time, lift up the name of Jesus. So I'm thankful that the Lord didn't give up on me. I'm thankful that the Lord didn't give up on me. I'll never deny Jesus, really? I'll never walk away from Jesus, really? I would never cuss, really? I'll never turn my back. I know what I've done. I can't speak for you. But I know what I've done. And I'm thankful that he didn't give up on me. Thankful for the Marys and the Mary Magdalenes in my life. Thankful for my mother, my sister, brothers, brother-in-law. Thankful for people in my life that touched base with me, that told me they loved me, that told me they was praying for me. Thankful there was a voice. You're not hearing me. When I needed a voice. It's amazing how we have so many voices when I don't need so many voices. But when I need a voice, there's no voice. There's some Simons out there that need a voice. There's a Simon in your family. There's some Simons that belong to this church. And they're not here. They can blame it on circumstances, fears, doubts, whatever the blank, they can fill it in. I'm not concerned about that as much as a people that need to go get the Simon. They need to say, hey, we love you. We miss you. You belong here. Because there's some people that just since I've been here over the last few years that I know they should be right here. I know some people that are still hurting, that have gone through circumstances in their life. They should be here. So church, let's go get Simon. Let's go call Simon. Let's pick up the phone and go call a Simon. Let's go to somebody's house and knock on a door and say, hey, I just want you to know we love you and I care about you. I'm not asking for anything else, just for you to know that I care. Because sometimes all it takes is one person to say the right word at the right time, and it can change everything in their life. I'm telling you, church, the angel of the Lord is trying to get our attention. I know we come here to love him. We've come here to worship. We've come to have a good time. And boy, do we have great church. But I want some Simons out there to enjoy church with us. I want some people out there that can feel what we feel to worship with us. I don't want them out there feeling alone and lonely while we're enjoying the presence of the Lord. The devil is a liar. Why would we have liberty while somebody else is living in torment? And they know they can have liberty. I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm just trying to wake somebody up, because I want every member of this church to say, I know a Simon. I know somebody that should be in the presence of the Lord, but they're wrestling with devils, and they shouldn't be wrestling with those demons each and every night. All they waiting on is somebody to say, hey, go get them. Go get them. Go let them. They can come back. Go let them know we still love them. Go let them know they still have a purpose, because Jesus was not done with Simon Peter. We know the story. I don't have to bore you with the details. It's not a coincidence that he said, go get Peter. I need you, Peter. Peter, I gave you some keys a while back to the kingdom. And I'm not taking those keys away from you. See, that ought to teach us a lesson, that when God gives you a gift and a talent, when God has a calling on your life, the Bible says this, it is without repentance. He will not take it away from you. If God has gifted you something, it's for you. Amen. I gave you some keys, Peter. And I still need you to use those keys. It wasn't a coincidence. Hey, I need you to go get Peter. Because I'm about to pour out my spirit here in a little while. And I need Peter to stand up and preach the word of God. Because there could be a Simon out there that's got the best message we've never heard. There could be a Simon out there that's got the greatest voice we've never heard. There could be a Simon out there that's getting ready to write the best oneness book we've never even read. There could be a Simon out there that could be the greatest soul winner we've never even seen. There could be a Simon, oh, I hope I'm preaching to the right church. There could be a Simon out there that's God is going to perform a great miracle in their life and draw souls to him. There could be a Simon out there that God is just waiting to use, because he was that Peter. When they said, men and brethren, what do we need to do? The Bible says Peter stood up with the 11 and began to let them know, this is that. We're not drunk how you think. Hallelujah. Peter went from running from God. Simon went from denying him to being drunk in the spirit with him. He went from somewhere far gone and disconnected to being drunk in the spirit with the Lord. Because it doesn't take much to change your life. And Peter said, oh no, we're not drunk how you suppose, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. That's another point I want to make before I close this, is that Simon still knew the word. I think that went over some of your heads, because we got some Simons out there that know the word better than some of you know the word, but they're not in church today. It's not that they don't know the word, it's that they are disconnected from the body. My God, I'm trying to awake a church. I'm telling you, we got to go get Simon. Go get Simon. They've got to know they can be reconnected to the body.
I feel the Holy Ghost in here. Let's lift our hands. Come on right now. Lift your hands unto the Lord. Come on, let's just pray just for a moment in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on. Lift your hands and lift your voice. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Musicians, come. Singers, you can stay. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands. Come on, let's just pray just for a little bit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go tell my disciples and Peter, I haven't forgotten about him. I still need him. I still want him to be connected. But listen, the angel said, I need you to go tell him. The angel of the Lord could have simply said, go tell his disciples, I'll take care of Peter. I'll visit Peter. He didn't. He relied on the church. He empowered the people to say, hey, go get your friend. Go get your friend. Go get the one that you praise the Lord with. Go get the one you prayed at the altar with. Go get the one that's helped you and made things for you and supported you. And forgive us, Lord. For all we say out of our mouth is, oh, they need to live right. They need to act right. They need to have a love for you. All those things may be true, but that shouldn't stop me from saying, come on back. We miss you. We love you. You belong here. Every individual here,
you can just think of one Simon in your life, just one, whether it's in your family, they're in this city, they attend this church, just think of one Simon. I want you to bring that one Simon to the Lord. And I want you to bring that name before the Lord, saying, Lord, help me to be a tool to go get Simon. Help me to make that phone call. Help me to send that text message. Help me, God, to visit them. Help me, God, to be the one to go get Simon, because you still have purpose for that individual. When you have that name, I want you to bring that name to the altar. And I want you to lift your hands and ask the Lord to give you the wisdom, because it's going to take wisdom. I'm not asking you to teach a Bible study. I'm just asking you to make a phone call. I'm not asking you to sit down with them and bring them into your home and go out of your way. I'm just asking you, make a phone call. Knock on their door. Let them know there's still purpose for you here in the house of God. There's still purpose for you in the kingdom of God. Because I don't know where we would be if somebody didn't come get us in our time of need. Church, I want you to, I want you to have that name. And I want you to ask the Lord to give you wisdom. Give me wisdom, Lord. Give me wisdom, God. Because when I call, I need to know what to say. When I send the text message, I need to know what to put. When I knock on their door, I need you to give me the words. Come on. I just need you to have one, just one person, and go get Simon. Go get Simon. Go get Simon. Simon's not where he should be. Simon's not fellowshipping.